Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35,
30. Want to get no punch. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Happy holidays, everybody. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live from the Giants training facility in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Jeff Fiegels. We'll be here for the next hour to take your phone calls and, of course, to respond to your Twitter questions at hashtag Giants Chat as we discuss not only Giants football, but the upcoming game Sunday, the season finale against the Philadelphia Eagles. Our phone number is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. 4513. Well, hope you had a great holiday, everybody. We're back and ready to go. I will tell you this. It's really interesting because the weather's been pretty good here this week. It doesn't really feel like the end of the season or Christmas or New Year's, for that matter, to be perfectly frank with you.
Yeah, no, there's no snow on the ground. You know, it's 50 degrees, but hey, I'll take it. I'll take it every day.
What was that like when you were in Arizona for the holidays?
Well, you know what? When you grow up in Arizona, you don't know anything really other than that. And then when you start to try to – you move away and you start playing for teams on the East Coast and you kind of get into all of the traditions that you have on, you know, in snow. And it is a little bit different because it's bright and sunny. And usually Christmas is – if it is bright and sunny, there's usually white on the ground, snow. Hey – it is what it is. You know, we celebrate Christmas all over the world in whatever state you live in. We hope you all had a good Christmas. I know I did. I had all my boys at home and all four of them. And, man, I tell you what, that kitchen gets crowded.
The Fiegels family.
The Fiegels family is a big family now. I mean, I got grown-up kids, and they're all, you know, they're all about 5'10 to 6'1", and they eat a lot of food, and it was a good time, but it, you know,
that's how they grow.
No question. There's no. And yesterday they were all sitting there. Isn't there any football on? And they're not. You know, one of my sons is a basketball fan, so I said, guys, Saturday. You know, Christmas Day is all about basketball.
NBA, baby.
So we're gonna have to watch basketball. And they're like,
No. The Knicks are not basketball.
I don't know what that is.
They used to be, but not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, but we got through it. We got through it. And now today they have football back on. And but more importantly, my second son is turning 21 tomorrow, so they are planning a 21st birthday party. And of course, I'm not around there today, and I don't really want to be around there planning that stuff. So. But I'm happy to be here talking Giants. We got a big game this weekend against the Eagles, and one that means nothing for both teams. We're sitting here 3 weeks ago thinking that the Philadelphia Eagles had a chance to win the division, and they were going to be going to the playoffs. But now things have derailed a little bit down there, and the Giants are on a nice streak. And it's no better time to go in and play a team that absolutely dismantled them the last time they played, Paul. It was a bad game.
You know, that game in Philadelphia was horrible for a number of reasons from the Giants' perspective. One, because they were never in the game, and it was on national television in prime time in the heart of the Lions' den in Philadelphia, which, of course, is just a bad combination any way you look at it. But then to make matters worse, that's when Victor Cruz wound up injuring his knee, deflated not only the entire Giants bench and sideline, but I even think the fans in Philadelphia felt bad for him. As mean and as angry as those people are, you could just feel the entire life just being sucked out of that building when Victor Cruz
and
got hurt.
You also saw the respect that he has for, you know, the other team has for him, because, you know, when he got hurt and he was on that card and the other team, the Eagle players were coming up and, you know, saying, hey, I hope you get better and all that kind of stuff. He's that type of player that's he's a very impact guy for the Giants, but on a grander scale for the National Football League, you know, certainly one of those high-profile guys that's a good guy, does a lot for his community, and everybody always is just wishing him the best. And it sounds, you know, the other – I don't know if it was yesterday or not yesterday, but probably on Wednesday, Victor Cruz was able to speak to the media, and I guess, you know, he's coming along, and I think that he's ready to go, and he's taking what they're giving him, telling them, you know, they're telling him to get – he got on the treadmill, he was walking. So I think his prognosis is very good, and his outlook on next year more importantly, being able to play next to one Odell Beckham, I think he's very excited about that.
Yeah, Cruz was saying that other guys who have talked to him about similar injuries told him to estimate about 6 months or so, which would take him right up to roughly the beginning of training camp, give or take a few weeks. And so things are looking good for Victor. Everything seems to be according to schedule in terms of his rehab. Ditto for John Beeson coming off of the toe surgery. We got a chance to see him on Wednesday as well as he addressed the media, and he told them that things are looking good for his toe as well. So two guys who expect to be big parts of the Giants organization in 2015, looking forward to it, and again, getting the green light to this point, and that's a good deal as the Giants try to finish out their season now with what could be a 4-game winning streak. And before we get to the calls, I just want to mention one thing here, Jeff, because...
Just one?
Yeah, just
oh,
one.
You're never just
no,
one.
No, just one. Just Wait. One.
Okay.
It's something we were talking about earlier, and we're hoping to find out more from Philadelphia today. Bradley Fletcher is the corner who would line up at the right side or opposite Odell Beckham Jr. for the Eagles. He does lead the NFL with 22 passes defensed. However, he also leads the league by giving up 9 touchdown receptions this season. He's actually played very poorly, and they're very, very unhappy with him. He's struggling with a sore hip, and defensive coordinator Billy Davis said earlier this week he won't even guarantee that Fletcher will start. Well, behind him is Nolan Carroll, a 6'1" corner who played for the Philadelphia, not the Eagles, the Miami Dolphins. Started for them a bunch of games the last couple of years, but very, very inconsistent. Last year gave up an average of 15 yards per reception. And quite honestly, with the dissatisfaction in Fletcher this year in Philly, you know, if Carroll was really anything to write home about, or they had much confidence in him, he's been playing special teams, he would have jumped over Fletcher on the depth chart already. But he hasn't. They're waiting now until their season's already in the toilet before potentially making this move. So that tells you that Carroll is nothing to write home about. So why do I bring this up? Well, back to a moment ago when I said to you that Odell Beckham Jr. lines up opposite that right cornerback. So whether it's Carroll or whether it's Fletcher, and by the way, the Eagles play a zone scheme. They're going to give you some cushion off the line. They're not bump and run. They're not press. They're not man. They're going to give you some room. Odell Beckham Jr., to me, has to be looking at that tape in that film room this week saying, I can do some damage.
Well, the Giants are looking at the tape going, this guy does some damage. So so I think it's more of the Eagles looking at Odell Beckham than Odell Beckham looking at the Eagles because, quite frankly, as you would say, that the Eagles' defense, they get after the quarterback. They may play a zone or whatever they're going to do. They have problems in the secondary. They have big problems secondary. They give up a lot of plays. Looking at my stats here, they have given up 56 receptions of 20 yards or more and total 32 passing touchdowns. So, you know, you look at this offense for the Giants and what they've been doing lately. They've been able to protect Eli Manning with the last 3 or 4 weeks with teams that like to blitz. They've done a nice job of picking that up. The Rams game last week, that front four was able to get after the quarterback. They were only to get one sack on Eli, which he said it was his fault. So when you think about that, they've done a nice job. So really, they have a great opportunity against this Eagles defense to put some yards up passing the football. And more importantly, making first downs and keeping this offense of the Eagles off of the field.
Yes, the Eagles are second in the NFL in sacks, and they had 6 when they beat the Giants in Week 6, 27-0. Justin Pugh admittedly said it was the worst game he had ever played,
well,
either in college or the pros.
I'm glad he admitted it, because certainly we thought it was really bad, too. That offensive line had 7 penalties out of the 10 that they had that game. And they can't have that again this week. And, you know, when you talk about Paul, a lot of people are saying, you know, it's nice to go out on a winning streak and a 4-game winning streak and all that. And how does that carry over into the next season? I will tell you from a player's perspective, it is nice to go home on a winning streak. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think it does anything coming into next year.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that really honestly could probably sit back and go, did we win our last game? Or, you know, it's a whole different schedule.
There's no momentum. There's months away.
It's many, many months
away. I don't buy that momentum thing
either. But I will tell you this. It is easier, if there is such a thing, packing those bags and leaving the facility on a win than it is a loss. Because
right.
I do remember one year. We were, I don't remember exactly. Actually, I think it might have been 2004, or 2003 season, after Jim Fossil, that was his last year, that we lost a game, And who comes strolling into the building that day was Mr. Mara, Wellington Mara, and Ernie Accorsi in the team meeting. That was not fun.
No.
Whenever you have those two people in your team meeting room after a game, after a loss, you know that you know what's going to hit the fan soon. And it did. And then,
well, he challenged you guys as a team.
Lo and behold, who rolls in here is Coach Coughlin, and the rest of it is story. But so that's just a little bit of tidbit from a player's perspective on going out on a winning streak. I think it means everything to win that last game and be able to go out, leave the facility on a win. I think it does nothing for what you're going to do next year because this roster has a lot of maneuvering to do, as we know, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then.
All right, Jeff, let's go to the calls. And
you got it.
Zeke from Virginia, you will be first on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Thanks for calling, Zeke.
What's up, Zeke?
How y'all doing? Happy holidays.
You too.
For my family, to yours.
Thank you.
I would like to say, give a testament to our coaching staff. One, there's a couple points. I got about 4 points, so y'all be patient with me. I'll make it quick. We got Tom Coughlin, obviously. He were talking about, Tom Coughlin's too old, blah, that's just all me and speculation. But, this team did not tank as far as just, put it in the bag and just hang it up for next year, You guys kept playing hard. And our defense has been pretty bad, especially in the second half. But you got to give a testament to Perry Field, especially when you have younger guys like Shockey Brown, who got kicked off the Ravens for a bad performance. But he's been here, and he's been playing pretty well. Bowman was supposed to be that third, fourth corner, but he took Bowman's spot as far as I can see on the field. And he's been playing pretty decent.
Done a nice job for them, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got Kennard, you got Hankins. He got snubbed hard for the Pro Bowl. But, you got all these young guys who are playing really well when these other guys like John Beeson, Prince, Walter Thurman, McBride, list goes on, who got injured.
Yeah.
Another point here, Odell Beckham in the Pro Bowl, snub. If you go down the list of wide receivers, every one of them has a tandem, you could say. Like, Jordy Nelson has Randall Cobb, Dez Bryant has DeMarco Murray.
Fair point.
Thomas has, they all have somebody else to help them out. I mean, if you want to pick at it, Odell Beckham tandem has been, Preston Parker has been the most consistent week in and week out wide receiver. And that's nothing to ride home about, So I have no idea how he didn't make the Pro Bowl. He will make the Pro Bowl because he's going to be an alternate.
Yeah, Zeke, let me just stop you for one second.
Okay,
there were eight receivers taken. Seven of them are going to the playoffs. Maybe even the eighth will, depending upon what happens this weekend. And so there's a great likelihood that even if one or two of those guys don't get to the Super Bowl, which means they, of course, would be eliminated from going to the Pro Bowl, there's also a good likelihood that at least one or two of those guys is going to drop out and say, you know what, we just went through a whole season and a playoff. We're not interested in going to the Pro Bowl anyway. So I'd say the chances are very good as the first alternate, next man up, Beckham is going to be a Pro Bowl guy.
Yeah.
And it's almost 100% chance.
Yeah.
Hopefully nothing, he doesn't get injured. There's almost 100% chance of him going into a Pro Bowl.
Very likely.
But how he gets snubbed over his he's a rookie. He doesn't know what the NFL is.
That's why he's a snub.
He didn't have training camp, missed four games, and he's destroying the league. Like, that's
what you
should be in the Pro Bowl.
Look at the glass half full and say for a guy who missed the first month of the season and is a rookie, he's first alternate. He's probably going to go. Right,
yeah.
Jeff?
Yeah, and it's tough. The Pro Bowl, the players have the vote, the fans have the vote, and then the teams. It's a popularity contest. I mean, it really, when you look at the year that Calvin Johnson, he has not had a Pro Bowl year, in my opinion.
Right.
And that's just a popular pick right there. So you're right. He's going to go. He'll probably get in there because somebody's going to get, not want to play in it, and we're going to be talking about Odell Beckham, the Pro Bowler. And listen, once you get into that and you continue to do what he's done, he'll be a perennial Pro Bowler. Trust me. That's for sure.
You had one more point. Quickly?
One more point. Again, Jerry Reese, he hit gold on this draft class. I even think last year's draft class is starting to come to fruition. But we also need, coming up, we got a lot of work still needs to be done. Offensive linemen's first. My belief is second is safety because Antro Roll is getting old. he might not even be here next year, and Quentin Dempsey is not the long-term answer, then a solid linebacker, like a middle linebacker. Paul, I don't know how much film you're doing on the college players right now.
Not much yet, to be honest. Very little right now. I get into that once the Giants season is actually over.
Okay, but we definitely need – I don't think we need a tackle, but a guard, a middle linebacker like Perryman from Miami, and a solid free safety. All right, I'll just take the rest of your time.
Thanks for your call, my friend.
Have a wonderful holiday. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
What pick are we talking about the Giants having?
Well, Giants, as of this past week, could be either as high as 6 or as low as 16. I mean, that's how wide the gap was. Now, what has it turned into this week now since the last weekends of games? I hadn't done the recalculations again to see exactly where it would be. But I'll tell you this, Jeff. Here's the interesting part for me. You know the Giants always build through the draft first and then free agency second. It's interesting in that depending upon where the strengths are of the free agency crop and where the strengths are of the draft, you may have to alter that equation a little bit because right now, from what I understand, there's not a great plethora of offensive linemen in the draft, so you may have to go sign one if you really want to get one. Pass rushers, again, another very, very difficult situation. For me, if JPP doesn't come back, they need another pass rusher. And so is that a guy you want to draft thinking that you may have to wait a couple of years till he's really good? Or do you want to, you know, just add water and sign a free agent?
And I've said this on the show before, for those of you who have listened to it, I think the whole offseason predicates itself on JPP. And I think, you know, that's if he is going to be one of these guys that's going to be coveted as a free agent, you're going to know that first week in March when free agency starts what's going to happen. Because JPP is not going to wait until the end of free agency to get signed. He's going to be one of those guys that signs right away. And I think right then and there the Giants will have a plan going forward, whether they can keep him or not. If they keep him, then that'll dictate a lot of what they do in the draft. If they lose him, I think that has a lot to do with what they're going to do in free agency. So like Paul was saying, you know, but I think that you look at the young guys on that defensive line and some of the promising guys that really, when you talk about a Kerry Wynn, I know he's not, you know, a first-round guy, but, you know, they felt good enough about this young kid to keep him on the 53-man roster.
And then,
To a lot of people's surprise, and now you understand why. Because when he had his chance to play and he got in there and took advantage of his opportunities, he has done well. And you can kind of parlay that into what he can do next year in lines of what they're going to do in free agency and in the draft at that defensive line position. So there's a lot of things that we can talk about there. But, you know, that's a long ways away in the grand scheme of things. But the Giants got a game this weekend to play, and we're going to kind of focus on that a little bit.
I will just add this, Jeff, in looking at the current NFL standings, again, this is unofficial now. I have not talked to anyone from the league. It looks like the Giants can draft as high as 7 based on what I'm looking at this morning, or as low as 15. So that's still a wide stretch of picks in any event. So that's where it stands now. But again, in talking about this weekend's game against the Eagles, I want to throw one thing out to you, Jeff, before we continue with the phone calls. Mark Sanchez has now started 7 games for Philly. They've lost 3 in a row. He's 3-4 as a starter with that club. He actually came in for Nick Foles, who broke his collarbone 7.5 games ago. In that time frame, even though he started out well and he's got 4 300-yard games, he has turned the ball over 13 times. This is the Mark Sanchez that the Jets decided not to re-sign and let go. And obviously, he's burst the Eagles' bubble because they're not making the playoffs. Do you believe that at this point in time, the Giants are not only catching the Eagles at a good time because they're not going well, their quarterback doesn't seem to be playing well, and they're not making the playoffs, or do you sense in your mind that this is actually a prove-it game for Mark Sanchez, and he's going to be trying to play for a job for next year, and he'll come out firing and have a good game?
Well, I think that they keep Mark Sanchez because
you do.
I don't think the guy behind Mark Sanchez is any good. I mean, you look at what's his name?
Barkley,
USC
kid.
Okay, so I mean, you know, you got to have a guy that's in the National Football League. You know, unless you're Eli Manning. Do you have a quality backup? Okay, just ask the Cardinals about that one. Right?
Oh boy,
I mean they did have a quality backup in Stanton, but he's been hurt. But I think that this is a prove it game. But I still think that the Eagles will bring him back. because he's played well in that system. Unfortunately, he still makes the Sanchez mistakes, and you got to cut down on that. Hopefully, he continues that streak this week. but I think the Eagles they're 9-6. They're not 6-9. Okay, they just 3 weeks ago they're sitting about to win the talking about winning the division. So this is a good team. And I think that the Giants can't overlook them at all just because of Mark Sanchez being the quarterback either. So, but to answer your question, I think that, Foles is their guy. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to get him back in the lineup. And Sanchez has proved to be exactly what everybody thought he was, pretty much a backup quarterback.
Yeah. All right, back to the calls. Ed from Maryland, you're on line 3. Hello.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Jeff. Happy holidays. Thanks for taking my call.
You too.
Yeah. What's happening?
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to talk about Jerry Reese and his upcoming game. First of all, it's a very important game. Philly's 9-6, and we're 6-9, and I was always believing when they beat us like that on primetime TV in Philly, that was the end of our season. And then we went on to lose like the next 7 games. So it's very important for us not to have that 10th loss, and it'll actually kill them to to close their season off and lose four straight games.
Yeah.
And my next point also, I just wanted to see what you guys think about Jerry Reese, because he always waits till the end of the offseason to start to re-sign players. But teams like the Seahawks, they re-signed KJ Wright and like a couple other guys during the season. Why can't we start talking to guys like JPP and Thurman about re-signing a contract prior to the offseason, because that's when the market goes up? I just don't see why we always wait to the offseason to start to re-sign these guys.
Let me jump in here half a second. I believe I saw something the other day which was unofficial that indicated the Giants did not have any cap room left this year. And if you're going to do a deal with somebody before the season, you usually tear up the end of this year's deal, and then you give them that new deal with an extension, Jeff. Jeff knows about this being part of the Players Association for a while. And so the Giants didn't have any room, I don't believe, to maneuver this month to try to do those deals. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I don't think they could have.
But that's the biggest thing. The teams that are doing that, they have cap room. And more importantly, they're going to have more cap room coming up. So they're able to retain some of their guys that are going to be free agents. But someone like JPP would never sign a contract if they had even offered it to him now, being a free agent, because that's just, you're leaving money, you're taking money off the table there, because he is going to be coveted. I just imagine who's going to pay him. So that's kind of the reasons why, and I think Paul made the best one, is that the Giants, and we're not officially on this, but most likely it's one when the teams don't have the cap room currently to be able to extend or re-sign some of those guys that are on their rosters now. But it's a good question. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, thanks so much for the call, Ed. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed.
The Giants overturned almost 45% of their roster this past offseason, and so that put them close to the cap because they didn't have much maneuverability after all those signees.
But we do know going into next year's
Now 17 unrestricted.
And they're going to have, close to, I think the last, I mean, we were, maybe $20 million, something like that. They're going to have some money to spend next year. And it just depends on how much they're going to want to give, one JPP, because he's their big ticket item.
All right, folks, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get a free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Let's go back to the phones. I believe Will from the Bronx, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Will.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Number one, as far as JPP is concerned, man, I think that, him coming on at the end of the season is great and all. But, this kind of effort is something that, had we had him doing this during that seven-game losing streak, maybe, he would have a good argument for getting the money that he wants. But I think now, if we do bring him back, man, that we got to put some incentives in that contract. That's just my comment. Second thing is, as far as Rick the Cruz is concerned, right now I'm off on disability, and I was talking to one of my physical therapists who's an avid Giants fan too, and she told me that the injury that he had sustained was something that, right across the patella tendon, that you know, it's going to take quite a bit of time for him to come back for that and probably into next season and not probably not looking for him to be starting game one.
Well, Will, without having Dr. Warren or Ronnie Barnes in this room to converse about that, I'll be honest, I don't have a medical degree, nor does Jeff. I'm not going to go anywhere with that other than to tell you Victor Cruz is very optimistic based on what he told us on Wednesday.
And he's also said that he's ahead of schedule. And you got to remember, too, I've known just myself and others included in this. Every person is different. Everybody responds to injury differently. Everybody's body is different. And some guys take longer, as we know. You're like, why is this guy still out with a hamstring or this or that? Or
sure.
And some guys come back like, how in the world did that guy come back and play so quickly? So everybody's different. I think in this case that Victor Cruz is different in a way that I think he's accelerated his rehab. I think he's ahead of schedule, which is a good thing. But I think more importantly, like you've said, is that this is an injury that will take a lot of time. And I think the Giants are smart enough to know that they don't need Victor Cruz in preseason games. They're going to try to nurse him back through. And even if it did take into the first or the second game of the season, we sure know what can happen when guys miss four games of the regular season and like Odell Beckham and goes out and plays the rest of them. So it's not so important to get him back when you absolutely maybe need him. But it's just you got to take it easy and make sure that he is 100% and make sure that he knows that he's 100%.
In fact, Victor said the other day he's not going to try to get back on the field unless he knows that he's not going to hurt and that it's going to be okay, because there's no sense in having a setback.
Yeah, and the thing about injuries, Will, too, is and thank you for the question, is that I will tell you this. It's not so much a lot of times the physicality of the injury. It's the mental part of it that has a tough time getting over, particularly in running routes and planting and doing things like that, where you all of a sudden you need to kind of get some confidence going that you're going to – because that first time when you're out there and you're starting to plant around, you got to build some confidence that you're going to be able to do the things that you normally do, and that mentally is tough.
I hate to say it, but it was hard to watch Mario Manningham this training camp as he tried to come back from two knee surgeries, and Jeff, he just couldn't do it.
He just couldn't do it, and, you know, when you think about it, and a caller made this point a couple weeks ago about Mario Manningham and the fact that it may have been you, because if you made this point, is we are seeing maybe if Mario had made this team and he didn't go on IR, you may not have seen a lot of Odell Beckham, because they would have just kind of kept going. I don't think that Manningham would have made it through the whole season. I really don't. I just think I think his time had come and it was just ready for him to go.
Yeah, I do want to get back to JPP again. Will, thanks for the call. And talking about Jason Pierre-Paul, 72 tackles, 10.5 sacks. Both of those stats are the second best totals of his 5-year career. They are good totals. They're not Pro Bowl numbers. They're just a shade below. And I believe he's the fourth alternate for the Pro Bowl at defensive end. So I think it's unlikely he's going to wind up going. But, you know, if we weren't thinking about the JPP of 2011 when he was dominant and a Pro Bowl player, you would probably be saying he had a very good year instead of just an okay year. But I think what happens is we all get kind of caught up in the standard that he set 3 years ago before 2 years of injuries derailed his career.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest with you, Jeff, the fact that he's come back healthy, hasn't missed a game all season, and has improved his play against the run would warrant me wanting him back on this team, but the price tag is going to be, to me, the big question mark. I don't think it's a matter of do the Giants say we want him or don't want him. I just think the price tag is where it gets sticky.
Yeah, and they have to be creative. I mean, it's just, you know, they're every year the cap goes up, so there is a little bit more money that is being able to be spent, if you will, just because of the numbers. But the fact is that, you know, these guys are pretty much, you know, someone like, 99 for the – why am I doing this?
Talking about Watt from Houston? He's the guy who we all measure defensive ends by.
You look at that number there, and then you look at some of the guys, you know, along the line there. You know, Quinn for St. Louis has just signed a new deal last year. So you kind of have an idea where these numbers could go. And it's just a matter of, like you said, where does the team feel? And I will tell you this, because I know that I restructured my contract and signed free agent stuff with the Giants. They kind of set the market in their players. They say, hey, listen, we've done our research. This is what we think you're worth. This is the number that we're going to give you. And if you like it, then sign on the dotted line. If not, then, you know, give us a chance maybe to match something. But they're going to do their homework. They're going to give him an offer, and it's going to be a good one. It may not be the one that he wants, but they do that in their players. They really do. And you know that, Paul.
They are one of the more fiscally responsible teams in the league because they legitimately try to go for market value.
That's what I'm saying. They set the market.
They really do.
They understand what it is, and they put a number out there. And I'm not telling you that number is always the number. I mean, they're not the team that says, this is what it is. But they set their own market with their team because they are fiscally responsible in that because they have to build a team.
And the one thing you have to remember is that there's always some wild card team out there that you don't even think about that's got some huge bucket of money sitting in their backyard, and they say, guess what? We're going to double what that team offered you, and they just blow the guy out of the water. For example, Linval Joseph with the Minnesota Vikings got a huge contract, and everybody knew he was going to get a good one, but the Vikings just went sky high. Kevin Boss, another guy, some years ago with Kansas City.
Gary Cofield.
Cofield, another guy with the Redskins. And so it just takes one team to just load up the Brinks truck and say, come to Papa. And now all of a sudden you can't blame the player for taking maybe double what everybody else thought he was going to get.
And I think that, you know, a lot of times when you look at players, one, I'm going to give you one that you're going to know a lot about, and that's Hakeem Nicks. You know, last year him being in his playing out his last year of his contract, I never get it. I never will. That any time that I was going to, and I'm only doing this because when I was in my last contract year, I knew I had to have a big year. And my goal was Pro Bowl. Got to make the Pro Bowl. You make the Pro Bowl going into your contract year, you just made yourself a lot of money. Mm-hmm. The second thing is if you don't make the Pro Bowl, make sure that you have a consistently good year that you can have another team that wants your services. A lot of players go into their final year not wanting to get hurt and kind of dogging a little bit. And I'm not telling you something that you don't know or maybe the other fans don't know, but Hakeem Nicks last year just drove me crazy the way he played football last year. He played not
passive,
to get hurt.
Passive.
And he thought that he was going to go ahead and get a good free agent contract. Then he gets a one-year deal for basically the league minimum. So it can backfire on you. And what I'm saying this is I look at JPP, and I think that he's done everything he's had to do this year. He's improved his statistics. He's played the run very well. And he's known, more importantly, he's got through the season healthy, knock on wood. And the fact is that he has been he's been durable. Last week's game, I think he may be taken off maybe a couple plays. I don't know the official numbers, but the guy has been playing almost every snap.
You know what else, too? For the last month or so, he's had a brace on his elbow and actually played with a brace, too.
I was thinking about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking when he started to put – because he used to wear that brace at practice.
Yes.
But he always took it off in the game.
Mm-hmm. So credit to JPP. Okay, who's next? I believe it's Joe from Pennsylvania. You're on the show. Hello.
Joe Paw, it says up there. Joe Paw.
I don't think it's him.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Era, Paul, great to talk to you.
Happy holidays.
And I think the future looks so bright for the Giants. You know, the first and last year's draft and this year's draft. And I just think the depth's going to be there that next year for Coughlin. You know what I mean? To put pencil in these players, if somebody gets hurt, that all these players have experience and stuff like that. And I was so proud of the last game there against the Rams, where whether they won or not, but, you know, when they were getting punched in the mouth, they came back on it and they took it. And, you know, that was a physical game, and that's where they really won it, in the trenches there. And I hope they can do the same thing for the Eagles, against the Eagles, because that game let me down that first game. It was ridiculous the way they were rushing up the middle on Eli. He had no chance. And I just hope the offensive line can play well now against this Eagles team, whether we win or lose, and just so we get out of there without injuries. And but I think the future looks very bright, you know. And that's about it. Does this show continue on from week to week here?
Yeah, Joe, we're going to be here during the off season, 12 o'clock Monday to Friday. We may do a few things to kind of tweak and tinker with the program, but we'll be here. Don't worry about it.
all season long again. That's great.
As far as I know,
it makes the beginning of the season come quick. So, that's
well, we're
great.
We're glad to be here. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Happy New Year's to you.
Happy
Giants,
New Year to you.
And, go Giants. Bye bye.
Thank you. Hey, quickly, I want to mention something. It was back in Eli Manning's rookie season when Kurt Warner was the quarterback. Giants were 5-4, and quite frankly, looked as though they had a real shot at a wild card. But Tom Coughlin made the switch, understanding that Eli was going to be the franchise quarterback of the future. those games, while Eli was dreadful as a rookie down the stretch that season, he wound up winning one game, as you remember. Yeah. It was you were busy.
Yeah, I was very busy.
But it was Tom Coughlin's belief that those games and those trials and tribulations that Eli went through the final month and a half of that rookie season would pay dividends for him when he came back in year two. I think that's what's going to happen with a lot of these young players who have seen a ton of snaps in the last month and a half. They're only going to get better, Jeff.
Well, we've already seen them get better. We've already seen them play. And you know, when you think about this draft class, and if we were sitting here August 1st, and going down the eight draft picks that the Giants had, and if you would have said to me that these guys are going to have X amount of snaps, it would have never added up to exactly what they had today, because there's no way that these guys were going to play as much as they did.
No.
I think that they were high on Kennard. They knew that he was going to be a player. He was going to be predominantly a special teams guy, and then going to fill in for some guys that get nicked up here and there. Okay, but they had I think he was by the far one of the best, a downright steal of a draft pick in the fifth
without
round.
Question.
And then you look at guys. Well, Odell Beckham, we knew that we didn't know he was going to get hurt, but the fact is we knew he was going to contribute being a first round draft pick. And then Richburg and all on down the line. It all goes back to what you said. The National Football League is all about experience. And I will tell you this, even into my 20th year in the league, I was still learning every year about National Football League, how to get better, how to do things, how to be able to take opponents away, how to tweak your game, this and that. And it's no different from these young guys. And the year that we won the Super Bowl, there was 10 rookies on that team that played and contributed to that team mm-hmm. that year. And from start to finish, those guys played and played and played. And you look at what happened the next year after that Super Bowl. How good were we that next year? Because those rookies were able to come over and play that next year.
Sure.
Unfortunately, you know what happened that following year. But the fact is they did get that experience playing in the National Football League their rookie year. And it goes back to what these guys are doing this year. They're getting that experience, and it can only help them. And we are seeing young guys come in here and mature into grown football men that are going to come back and play next year.
You know,
that makes sense to you, Paul?
Absolutely, because five out of the seven draftees this year have given the Giants some stuff. Bennett Jackson got hurt.
Right.
What are you going to do? He got hurt. But I still believe that they think he's going to be able to compete for a job next summer. And Jay Bromley, quite honestly, they're so deep at defensive tackle with how Marcus Kuhn has played. And obviously, Robert Ayers was playing in there a lot, and
right.
he did a really good job before he got hurt. We know Jonathan Hankins has had a sensational season, and Colin Jenkins
year.
Is still good.
And a healthy year, and Jenkins has missed two or three games. But, you know, the depth at that defensive tackle
no
position.
No room for Bromley to play.
It was really no reason. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so, you know, that's just a matter. But when you look at the other guys, it comes at the expense of other players getting hurt that they're getting playing time.
And even Nat Burhe has done some good things on special teams.
Well, he's played 15 games this year. And, you know, he had a chance to start earlier in the season when they benched Stevie Brown. But the fact is he's getting reps. He's learning at practice in the film room and then learning on special teams. And I will tell you this, as a young player, you get your start on special teams, because you look at one Corey Washington. We all talk about him all the time. And Coach Coughlin has mentioned it many times that he's playing special teams, and those fourth and fifth receivers on your team have got to be able to contribute on special teams and learn the game. And Corey Washington is a guy who comes from Richmond. It's not a huge powerhouse football program down there, folks. I hate to tell you this, but he's learning constantly, and I think that he's one of those guys.
You mean Kerry Wynn?
I meant Kerry Wynn. I actually meant Corey Washington, but I meant to say that the
school
that he came from is no powerhouse, right? I'm telling you.
You're right.
So, Kerry Wynn went to Richmond, excuse me. But Corey Washington certainly came from a school that nobody – I mean, I remember in training camp, we were looking at the – what is the school that he went to? Come on, seriously. What is it, Newberry?
Newberry, it's Division II.
Seriously,
Division II.
No, I know. I mean, Newberry, have you ever heard of anybody coming out of Newberry College?
I didn't know. I thought it was a department store.
That's my point. Okay, so you asked your question. Well, you know, yeah, he did all this in the preseason, and that was great. And you know what? That only helped him make that 53-man roster. That's that's how that happened. But he's got to carry this over as a young guy, and I'm kind of getting off topic here. But more importantly, these young guys have had a great opportunity to play.
All right, real quick, want to get to a couple of the tweets from Giants chat. We have somebody here.
Somebody.
Yeah, it's I think it's Mr. Ruiz 81, if I'm reading it right. He says, I'm glad Chip Kelly didn't get his hands on Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, he would have been great for that Eagles offense. High-powered attack and the speed that they have trying to move that ball downfield. We got another guy here, Nathaniel, says it's, what, Pint 1998. Not really making a big deal about the Pro Bowl thing. Probably not going to watch anyway. Don't need for anybody to get hurt. I understand that, but for the players, it's still kind of neat to go to Hawaii. Although not anymore, right?
It's every other year. They're in Arizona this year.
Okay.
And if I had my druthers, I went to two, and they were both in Hawaii.
So you like to go?
I like to go, but I will tell you this: if I had to go to Arizona, it wouldn't be as great.
Because no.
One number one, that would be fun. I'd be able to go back home.
Yeah, for you, it would.
But it's just Hawaii and Pro Bowl. Yeah. They go hand in hand, okay? And
okay.
It's a lot of fun to go over there and spend a week. It's just a great time.
It looks like D-Rock 8B says, "What do you guys think about Corey Washington?" He's one of those young guns who hasn't really gotten a chance to play, but that's because he hasn't earned it. Coach Coughlin said that he's done everything book-wise that he's needed to do, but he needs to see more out of him on special teams and also needs to produce at a higher level in practice. And, Jeff, we know what the requirements are for you to get snaps on Sunday.
Practice well.
Big deal. It's a big deal.
Conceptually, when you go from the classroom out to the practice field, you've got to have you've got to take it with you. And he's not taking that with – and really, it all comes with trust and confidence from a quarterback position, is that you got to be able to understand coverage. You got to be able to understand the National Football League, how things work. Because even though that this offense is not a whole lot about like it used to be and reading coverages and breaking off this and that, you still have to understand what's going on in the big picture to be able to be on that field and play the position that you normally do. And right now, they just don't have the confidence in him to do that. You have veterans like Preston Parker and Ogletree, who guys, they're veterans. They understand it. So they're definitely going to take a chance on those guys erring than the young Corey Washington.
And please, let's not make any mistakes about it. He had a great preseason, and that's the reason he's on the 53. They don't give away 53-man roster spots for nothing. He earned that, but now he's got to take another step to get to the next level.
And if you want to compare it, okay, let's compare the two with Kerry Wynn and Corey Washington. Okay, they both have made the 53-man roster. I think Kerry Wynn was more of a surprise to all of us because we kind of had an idea that we would have been surprised if Corey Washington didn't make the 53-man roster. But those two in comparison, if you look at them, Kerry Wynn has made a better opportunity for himself in going in and getting in games and playing because that doesn't just because he got in the game and played well. He's been doing it on a practice field to have enough confidence, like I said, that the team will get him in the game. And he's provided that and being able to – he's come through in a clutch. I mean, really, when DeMontre Moore went out of the game last week and he got to come in and play and he played a lot of snaps, he did good for himself.
A sack, a fumble recovery, and an interception.
Interception.
Talk about wild.
Great interception.
What a day.
And I heard the interview with him. I think it might have been either you or somebody had interviewed. No, it was at the maybe inside the locker room.
I had him on Channel 9.
But he had said that he had a play like that in college where he dropped that deflection.
I read about that, yeah.
And that he wanted to make sure that he caught it this time. And it was funny because he held that thing. He wasn't letting it go.
Actually, it was more to do with a fumble.
Was it more? Yeah,
he
was
trying. He wanted to pick up a fumble in college, and he didn't actually get the ball. And he said he learned from that.
Sure. Well, you know what?
It was in the preseason. I think it was. He mentioned it.
When you hear the word "learn,"
yeah, that's good.
That's the big thing. I learned, and that's a great concept.
All right, quick break before we get back to the calls. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home $10,000. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Back to the phones on Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513. James from Ecuador, you're next. Hello.
Hello.
James, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? I got a good connection or not?
Well, I tell you what, we're happy you called from another country. We don't get a whole lot of calls from overseas, but we appreciate you dialing in. What can we do for you today?
Okay. Well, listen, I just heard you all talk about the young guys, and they're getting the opportunities to play experience that'll help them going into a 2015 season. And I can appreciate that, and I also believe that. But you guys also covered Corey Washington, and that's been a mystery throughout this whole season for every I don't know. The only thing that I can say as a process of elimination, Corey Washington has a bad attitude on the line. You guys can't say it. I understand that.
No, James, first of all, you're breaking up, and I don't want to let you go. I'm going to give you one more quick second to respond. Maybe your line will clear up. So just hold on just 1 second. But here's the thing. We've already explained why Corey Washington has not become a bigger part of this offense. It's really very fundamental and very simple to follow. If you do the things that Coach Coughlin needs you to do during the week, you get a chance to get some snaps on Sunday. If you don't, you don't get them. It's really not hard.
But not only that, when you talk about what he's doing on special teams in the games, you know, he'll tell you that he's doing everything right, but there's something that tells me that he's not doing everything right, even in special teams. And that's just the basics of what you're doing. I mean, obviously it's a third of the game, but they're asking them to execute your assignments and do the things you need to do from a special team standpoint, and maybe that he's just not getting that either.
James, do you have another point if you want to finish? Because I do have to let you go. Your line's not too good.
Okay, can I interject here just for a second?
Hurry up, because we're really losing you, James.
Okay. Newsday printed an article last night, and it said that Corey Washington chuckled at the idea of keeping him from playing in the offense. He said, and I quote, "All I do on special teams is block. I guess I have to put them." But the bottom line is, if you're expecting a 6'4", 214-pound wide receiver to
block,
fair.
James, we're really having trouble with your line breaking up. We're going to let you go. Jeff, I'm not sure I got the entire part of his question, but again, the one thing about Coach Coughlin is he sets it all out in front of you. He puts it all on the table, and he says, look, this is what you need to do. It's very clear. And with Coach, and this is one of the things I think players really like about him when they finally get here. You know, a lot of people outside say, well, man, why would you want to play for a tough guy like that? But when they get here, I think they appreciate the fact that he's very straightforward. He puts it all out there for you and says, if you meet the requirements, you'll get what you deserve.
Yeah,
right?
You have to earn. You have to earn the right to play. That's it. Okay, you know, Corey Washington says that, you know, all I do is block. Well, you think about special teams. There's a lot of blocking on special teams.
Yes, there is.
If you're not catching the kick, you're blocking or you're tackling.
Indeed.
So, you know, I don't look at the film enough to go out and grade Corey Washington to see what he's doing, playing and play out. But something tells me that, you know, between what he's saying and what the coaches are seeing might be a little bit different. But I will tell the young man this, just keep working and keep working for that goal, and it'll happen. But, you know, sooner than later, you'll get on the field, hopefully. But the fact is that you should be happy you got on a 53-man roster and that you're playing. And, you know, it hasn't been too many times you've seen Corey Washington's name on the inactive list, so he's playing every week.
He's getting a jersey.
He's getting a jersey, and he's getting the suit up, and he's traveling, and he's playing, and he's getting a paycheck. And, you know, I do know this, that Corey Washington's paycheck is better than the practice squad.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I might also add, he's making the jump from Division II. So I don't know what kind of coaching he got when he was at Newberry, but chances are you're talking about a very wide chasm in terms of coaching, in terms of competition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So even though Corey Washington thinks he may have progressed a lot, that chasm's even bigger than what he thinks it is.
That's my point. Just be patient, okay?
That's
it. Just be patient.
You'll be fine.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, back to the calls. Steve from Massachusetts, you're next on the show.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing, Jeff?
Good.
How you doing?
Hi.
I just wanted to wish you guys a happy holidays. First,
you too. Definitely.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. I know I'm thinking ahead of the season already, but I was thinking the draft, and I was thinking, what do you two guys think that the Giants will be looking for first round?
First round. Well, that's a good
question. What's the number one need? I know it's obviously an offensive lineman, but I was definitely wrong about Beckham Jr. because I was crying that they took him in the first round instead of Zach Martin.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I really believe, and the Giants have a philosophy, and you know this, Paul, that they usually pick at the, you know, the highest guy that's on their board. And so maybe they keep to that. I don't know. But when you think about it, I really keep thinking that it all comes back to what is going to happen with JPP. I really do. I think that
it's a big deal.
It's a big deal because that has a lot of effect on a lot of different things. And then, and luckily, the free agency is before the draft, and that they're going to be able to get some sort of a plan going forward on what they're going to do after JPP. But you know, I don't know. I really, in my, I guess, in my opinion, I think you probably need to start it on the line somewhere, both defense and offensive line, because I don't think they're far away from being. I look at that offensive line and the way that they played the last month of the season, and they can do it. And you get Jeff Schwartz coming back next year.
I agree on that. The offensive line has definitely stepped it up the past last month of the season.
And they just have to play better, okay? So this is not blow the whole thing up, but let's just get guys to play better.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
I was just wondering another thing. My second question real quick was about JPP. What's the signs? Is there any signs of him being signed, or are they going to go with Roll? I know that they're two of their top free agents, I believe.
Well,
Are they leaning towards JPP, you would figure, or are they leaning towards Roll? Which one do you think they'd rather?
Oh, there's nothing out like that right now for the team. They never. That's all inside stuff. And the fact is that we both know. You know, I think their first priority would be JPP. He's a younger player. I think he's a little bit
pass rusher. Usually has more impact.
Absolutely. So, and I think in the case of Vontre Roll, it's going to be where, you know, what is the market going to give him, and the fact that will the Giants feel compelled enough to want him back because of his leadership skills. And he can still play. He can still play.
He can still play. He can definitely help somebody else out. That's for sure. Yeah. I think the market will be pretty good for him still. But that's basically all I have for you guys. And I really appreciate what you guys have done all year long.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the call.
I called earlier in the season, and I got through again today. So thank you very much, guys. Keep
happy
up
New
the
Year
work.
To you. Thank you.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye now.
Yeah, you know, it's always about the trenches for me, Jeff, offensive line and defensive line. And really what it comes down to is by the time you open up training camp next season, you need to have fortified both spots. And JPP's future is clearly going to have a major impact on either A, where they draft one, or B, how much money they have to spend to get one.
And when you look at the linebacking crew, you know, a big question is John Beeson going to be healthy enough to come back? And you certainly think he probably will, but you know what can he stay healthy? That's always been the biggest thing.
Jaquan Williams is another guy who you have to worry about coming off a concussion now the end of the season.
Yeah, and that was a big concussion. You know, so
he's unrestricted.
And you look at so there's man, we don't have enough time in the show to go over all of it, but I'm sure that you know in the off season when we get into their free agency and stuff like that, we can kind of break it down a little bit more.
Is it Eisen from Delaware?
Eisen.
Nah, it's not Mike Eisen from across the hall. That much we know. Eisen, hello. You're next on the show.
Yeah, it's Ivan. How's it going, fellas?
Good to talk to you.
You know, I just wanted to touch on something. You guys kind of touched on it earlier. I don't feel there's any, you know, wasted games. I hear fans say, oh, the game doesn't mean anything. You're not going to win a title every year. I mean, the goal is to at least make the postseason and give yourself a shot. But I think that guys like Andre Williams, who to me had his best game against the Rams, you know, as a total, you know, the not just the stats, but everything that he did and you know, him being patient, hitting those holes, you know, I was really impressed. So guys like that, you know, to me there's always value in the game, you know. And then I'm also interested in this game, seeing how Pugh responds. His worst game was against the Eagles last time.
Yes, it was.
He had a good game last week, and he also played overall better since he came back from injury. So I'm looking to see how he bounces back versus them, because to me, you know, that's got to be in back of his mind. So, you know, things like that. And so to me, there's always value in the games. I don't subscribe to the belief of there's no value in the game. And my last thing, actually two quick things. I'm so sick of hearing about Corey Washington. The fans that act like if he played, we wouldn't be 6-9 is just ludicrous to me. He, you know, I don't know what's going to come of him, but not every you know, kid that comes in off the street undrafted turns into a player in the NFL. Let's be honest about it. And the last thing, maybe you guys don't want to touch on, but I'm interested to see how the Giants fight off Hard Knocks this year if Coughlin returns. And, because I want to see these kids as early as possible, and it may not mean nothing to a lot of people, but I'll be interested. So I'm interested.
Training camp is open right here in the backyard. It's free. No, training camp is free every day here in the backyard. You're more than welcome to come and watch.
Yeah, but you only get to watch from the gate in. You know, I understand what you're saying, and you know those do give you a little insight on what's going on a team. But the Giants are they're pretty buttoned up about that kind of stuff. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there.
Eisen, thanks for the call.
Yeah, take care, Eisen. Happy New Year to you.
Appreciate it. Let's go back to the Twitter pages and see if there's anything here, Jeff. Before we close out the show, we got a few minutes to go. Let's see here, Avery. At TQManAF, okay, interesting Twitter handle, says, look at what Dwarka and Burhe have done on special teams. Watch the Rams game. They just got here, and Dwarka came off the street.
Yeah, well, that's what's, again, opportunity, right? Just make the opportunity that you need to go out there and play and try to, you know, you look at the younger guys that are just off the street, if you will, and we've had, the Giants have had quite a few of those as of late. They're going to be, they have been evaluated. They continue to be evaluated. And then as the season ends and they're going to start building the roster for next year, they're going to go back and look at the tape, and they're going to see how these young guys have played, and they will or they will not have a place on that roster going forward into the OTAs and the off season. So, this is a big game for a lot of people. And like the earlier, like Eisen had said, you know, he doesn't believe that these games mean nothing, because they do mean a lot. And really, you want to go out there as a young player and finish on a high note to try to be invited back next year.
Well, Avery, hopefully after what you saw, you'll realize that Orleans Darkwa, and not the typo that you put on the Twitter page, is actually his name. But that's okay. You have Dwarka. We'll deal with that for now. We know who he is. And honestly, what I've seen from him the last couple of weeks in very limited action, Jeff, makes me think he could be the third string running back next year.
Well, he certainly has a chance to. I know they like his speed. I know they like his speed.
And his pass protection. And he's good at picking up the blitz.
And more importantly, they like his intelligence. He picked up the offense very quickly when he got here. And he doesn't make a lot of mistakes and mental errors. And coming from the running back position, that's important, because if you make mental mistakes at the running back position and blitz pickup, you're going to get your quarterback killed. And that's the fastest way to get off of the field. That and fumbling. Those two things right there will get you a seat on the bench quickly.
Nah, no question. All right, no more phone calls? Are we out of phone calls? We got a couple minutes left in the show. So, Jeff, I'm going to just give you a one point of emphasis in this game for me as I look at the matchup from the Giants' perspective against Philadelphia on Sunday. Special teams, which is your bread and butter, is huge this week. Darren Sproles leads the NFL over 10 yards per punt return. He's also got a couple of touchdowns on punt returns this year. We know how deadly he can be. And Huff has done a great job on kickoff returns the second half of the season. I believe he's also got one that he took to the house as well. To me, the battle for field position on special teams is super critical, because you know the Eagles don't have a good secondary, and you also know that from a Giants perspective, they've been somewhat inconsistent with their running game this year. It's kind of been like one of those lie detector tests, the way they've been up and down the whole time.
Your lie detector test?
Well, whatever. Bottom line for me, though, is that field position in this game may be more critical than it usually is.
Well, you look at the Eagles season earlier in the year, they had scored 5 special teams touchdowns, which helped them get to the, you know, some of the 9 wins that they have this year. And then when they, you know, like the last 5 or 6 games, those had come down quite a bit. They still have the guys. They still have the players. And Sproles is one of them, and Huff. So, yes, the special teams will play a big part in this game for field position. The other thing in my mind, and I know that's not a whole lot of information to give you back on the special teams, but you got to be on your P's and Q's here. You got to be disciplined. And if you're Steve Weatherford, you got to be able to try to keep the ball out of the hands of Darren Sproles, whether it's fair catches or kicking the ball out of bounds. The other thing here is, in my opinion, when you talk about how this game can win and lose for the Giants, and it's real easy to me. It's real easy. The Philadelphia Eagles are a turnover machine. They turn the ball over, number one in the National Football League.
16 fumble recoveries.
The Giants win games when they don't turn the ball over. To me, there it is. You can win the turnover battle in this game. It's a division rival. It's going to be a good game. But the team that does not turn the ball over the most will win this game, in my opinion. It's that simple.
And funny, to kind of wrap this up, the last two things we just talked about, it was Darqua who forced a fumble on a kickoff return in St. Louis. The Giants recovered it. In fact, it was Burry who recovered it. And so the Giants had a 10-0 lead before the Rams even took one offensive snap.
And listen, if they can do that this game, they got a good chance because that starts to start a game off. And the Giants, when they start off quick, they do well. They win football games. But more importantly, again, it's that turnover statistic, and it's big at home. The home team who wins the turnover battle wins like 85 to 90% of the games. And that is a key statistic. Coach Coughlin pounds it on his players.
Final thought. Odell Beckham's been talking for a few weeks now that he's also been returning punts, that he'd like to take one to the house before the season's over. He's got one more Sunday to do it. You think you see enough that he can do it?
Yeah, because Donnie Jones will air it out on you, the punter for the Eagles. He's a big-legged guy, and he can air it out. And, you know, you just kind of – you hope that Odell Beckham isn't just pushing just too hard to do that and then makes a mistake in the kicking game because you don't want to have – he has two fumbled punt returns this year already. You've seen them. He's been lackadaisical in ball security. And the number one on special teams is give the ball back to the offense on the return team. That's the number one priority. And so, yeah, but listen, you've been covering the Giants longer than anybody. And the fact is, you know, the last time the Giants have had anybody back there that has been excitable about returning punts.
Oh, Ron Dixon.
Yeah.
Dixon was good.
I agree, Dixon. Yeah, but Dixon was.
Dominic Hixon was good.
And Hixon, too. But this guy, you know, that can turn on a dime, something can happen.
Yeah, this guy's special.
Whether it's this game coming up or next year, it's going to happen. We just know it. Because he's too good of a player.
Yeah.
This is why I had to kick the ball out of bounds. It's because of guys like Odell Beckham, honestly. Because, really, he himself is better than the 11 guys, that's including me, by the way, that are running down there covering him. He is a way better athlete than any of those guys.
I've seen you try to tackle. We know that's true.
It's not fun. And that's why I was taught well to just kick it out of bounds. You don't have to worry about anything that way. And my suggestion to Steve Weatherford is just do that this week.
Enjoy the game Sunday.
Oh, I'm going to enjoy it. We'll be there.
All right. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Paul Dottino. You've been watching Giants Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. We're here Monday to Friday, each and every weekday from 12 noon Eastern time to 1 o'clock, 201-939-4513. Write it down or hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Happy New Year.
He's got through. 35-30.
What are we getting on the punt? Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!